When I came to Vivi, Indiana, I come from South Africa. So if I talk with the British twang, I grew up in the most British of places in South Africa. I'm Asian Indian by background. As you can see, I'm really light, but this was my color before. And so I'm Asian Indian, but I come from South Africa. I come from the Natal province. So I'm pretty much a British person raised up with a good flair for Asian Indian cuisine. So I take the best of both worlds. I don't speak any of the Indian languages. And so basically, English is my mother tongue. So my accent is a little bit between a British and an American accent. So you must be wondering where I am. I'm unique in that. I'm going to speak to you today on the Jezebel spirit. A spirit that really haunts the churches. I just returned from South Africa. We went to South Africa in the month of June, and I spoke this in the churches, and it was overwhelmingly received. And there's so little teaching on this subject. I like to stretch myself, and therefore just be ready for a good ride today as we talk about two spirits. We're going to talk about the spirit of Lucifer, and we're going to talk about the Jezebel spirit. And, you know, I had many, many subjects that I wanted to share today, and I thought, what should I share? And the Lord was continually making me focus on this today. So I'll try to make it as light as possible, but God's word is deep and sharp and powerful. Is there a witness in the house that God's word is sharp and powerful? Sharpen than any two-edged sword that can cut to the very bone and the marrow. We have two great weapons against the enemy. We have the spirit of discernment, and we have revelation from God. Isn't that awesome? And we can expose the enemy and destroy his works. Jesus said, I've come to destroy the works of the devil. We don't need to have the devil to have free reign in our midst. We can. We need to know how to sense these spirits and learn more about them. So generally, the spirit of Lucifer works primarily in men, but I don't believe so. This is gender-free. The spirit of Lucifer works in both men and women. And often when they think of the spirit of Jezebel, they think it works primarily in women. But I tell you, I've seen more men with the Jezebel spirit than I've seen women in my ministry, in my life. So we're going to identify and profile these spirits as we go through God's word this evening. Now, these two spirits divide the churches, and we need to be on the guard. The Bible says Paul was writing to his protege, Timothy, and Paul said, guard yourself and your teaching. We have an obligation to guard ourselves in terms of our morality, but we also have an obligation to guard our teaching. Now, when you come to Christ, you don't give up your mind. I love Ravi Zacharias. He is from India, and he is South Indian like I am, from the South, but moved to New Delhi, and he has a program called Let My People Think. Now, some people, they think when you come to Jesus, you got to give your mind away. God don't need your head. He needs your head as much as your heart. And God's word is deep and sharp and powerful. So let's look at the spirit of Lucifer. This spirit typically, I said, attaches itself to men, but not exclusively. We look at its origin. Lucifer means light bearer or son of the morning. Everyone say light bearer. And say, son of the morning. Now, if you think of beauty, there was nobody as beautiful as Lucifer. Lucifer was an angelic being. He was not an angel. He was second to God. Second to the triune God. And we'll find out about Lucifer's fall. But he was created with absolute perfection and absolute beauty. There was no one beautiful as Lucifer. Be careful when you look at your wife one day and maybe you feel romantically inclined and you say, darling, you look like an angel. That can be very dangerous because most of the angels that showed forth themselves to people in Bible days appeared as men. So you might be saying, sweetie, you look so manly, so be careful. But Lucifer was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. He was the light bearer. He was called the son of the morning. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ezekiel 28, 12 to 19. Ezekiel 28, 12 to 19. The Bible describes this very, very beautiful person. It's talking about the king of Tyre, but we know that it is not exclusively talking about the king of Tyre. There is hidden meaning here referring to Lucifer. We'll pick up the text at verse 12. Son of man, take a lament concerning the king of Tyre, and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You are the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden. Now, the king of Tyre was not in Eden, right? So we know it's not talking about the king of Tyre. You were full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Ruby and topaz and emerald, chrysolite, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were of gold. And on the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherub. For so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of the Lord. And I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you on the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonored trade, you have desecrated your sanctuaries. So I made a fire come out from you, and it consumed you, and I reduced you to ashes on the ground, in the sight of all who were watching. All the nations who knew you were appalled by you. Let's bow and pray. Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of your tone. I pray the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and redeemer. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Now, let's look at Lucifer, how he was created. The Bible says he had a seal of perfection. I don't know, when people die in my culture, there are some very good painters, and they'll take a photograph, and they'll take the photograph to the painter. And the painter will look at the imperfections in the photograph, and he'll correct the imperfection. And when the product is done, wow, you say, it looks like the person, but they look absolutely gorgeous. Because the bent nose might be straightened. The painter might give him a nose job, or her nose job. So Lucifer was absolutely beautiful. Now in heaven, you're going to maintain your same facial structure. You'll have a perfect bodily structure. This model will put on immortality. We would recognize each other, but we would recognize each other in our perfect form. I'll say, wow, there's Pastor Jack. But wow, he's looking so good. Why? Because we'll be perfect. And God created Lucifer in ultimate perfection. He was full of wisdom and beauty. He was in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Isn't that awesome? The workmanship of your pipes and trembles were prepared for you on the day you were created. Now, worship is awesome, but the devil often can work in worship teams. Think of worship leaders you had in the past. I don't know the history of this church, but the devil works with worship. Why? Because Satan was the worship leader in heaven. He likes to pollute music. That's why music has such a big following. And I heard someone say, You know, when you come to this place here, you got to claim the atmosphere. Because the atmosphere doesn't belong to God. He is the ruler of everything. God is over all. But who is the prince of the power of the air? The devil. So when we worship, we come to claim Satan's territory. And we sanctify it. I thought, wow, that's awesome. Now, I'm not saying Satan is greater than God, but God is not the prince of the power of this air. Humanity has chosen the devil. He is the prince of the power of the air. But worship is so beautiful that when you come, you reclaim what belongs to God. Amen. You can just, I thought I'll whet your appetite a little bit there. The workmanship of your pipes and timbrels were prepared. Someone said, when Satan spoke, when Lucifer spoke, he was so prolific. He was such an orator that he spoke and his voice sounded like a whole orchestra, well tuned together. Could you imagine? You have the string instruments, you have the percussion instruments, and what's the other instruments? The wind instruments, right? Those are the three that come together. And he spoke with such perfection. I don't know about you, but I love good speaking voices. And I like to hear good diction, good oratory. And there was no one as good as Lucifer was, because he was created that way. Satan was full of wisdom, good looking, charming. And he could teach worship and lead worship. He was the anointed cherub that covers. Now, the anointing is wonderful, but don't get carried away by the anointing. Get carried away by the anointed one who's Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, sometimes we worship people and their anointings. Sometimes you can serve the devil and you can still flow in your anointing for a while. You won't continue to flow for a long time. God is a merciful God, right? The gifts are without repentance, right? The gifts are wonderful, but don't get carried away by people's anointings. Sometimes we build big edifices to people's anointings. But you be enamored with the anointed one, Jesus Christ. He is the virtuoso on the anointing. Right, the guitar is a beautiful instrument, but I am not an expert on the guitar. There are people who study the guitar and they know everything about the guitar. So you call them a virtuoso, an expert on the instrument. Now, no one knows the anointing better than Jesus, because his name means anointed one. He is a virtuoso. He is an expert on the anointing. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So Satan was an anointed cherub. The Bible says he was on the mountain of God. He walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. Satan had anointing. I'm starting this a little late, but it'll give me an idea. I appreciate you saying take all the time you want to, but you know, our attention span is only for so much. And, as spiritual as you are, there's a time to quit. Amen. I cannot teach you all things on one. You know, Paul the apostle was preaching from 4 hours. And then there was a guy, Eutychus, and he fell asleep. And he fell off the wall and he broke his neck and he died. And Paul raised him from the dead. But we're not going to do that tonight if you fall asleep. But I promise I won't go as long as the apostle Paul. Satan was on the mountain of God. He walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. Satan had anointing, authority, great favor with God, and close proximity. Everyone say anointing. Anointing. Say authority. Authority. Say great favor. Great favor. And close proximity. Now, you see why I'm making you preach with me? Because then, repetition is the best way of teaching. Do you know that? I say it and then you say it. And then it registers, okay? And look at this wonderful profile of Lucifer. Anointing. Authority. Favor. close proximity. Wow. We charismatics, Pentecostals, whatever we call ourselves, word of faith people, we like all of that, right? And Satan had everything. He was perfect since he was created, until iniquity was found in Lucifer. Pride enters his heart. Now the Bible says pride comes before. No. Think about it again. Pride comes before destruction. See, you learned that proverb in school. You didn't learn it from the Bible, right? The Bible says pride comes before destruction. Everyone say destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. Now, in essence, it's saying pride comes before a fall. So what was the first sin? Pride, okay? But he became filled with violence within, and God cast him as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. What is the mountain of God? Heaven, right? God expelled him out of heaven. Where did God throw him on? On the earth, right? He had a rival on the earth. Whom did God put on earth and gave vice regency? He made Adam, okay? I wrote a song, I was made a little lower than Elohim. Not lower than the angels, but Elohim. I was made for a purpose. I was made for a plan. I was made a little lower than Elohim. Now, you are above the angels. You're not below the angels. That verse in the Bible is more accurately translated. We were made a little lower than Elohim. Angels cannot understand salvation. They watch us. All they learn about salvation is by watching us. They can never experience what we've experienced. God created us with free will. Isn't that awesome? The best of us and the worst of us, right? Sometimes I wish we didn't have free will. But God trusted us so much. We are a tripart being, right? We have a body, right? We have a spirit, and we have a soul, right? Everyone say, I'm a spirit. I live in a body, and I have a soul. So your soul is your will, your mind, and your emotions. Whew, we get a lot of trouble from that, right? But God made us like him. We are God-like. God made us in his image, in his likeness. Hallelujah. I heard some fascinating things the past week about the man and the woman, you know? You know, God didn't call the woman Eve. Adam called Eve. You know what God called the woman? He called her Adam. God made the woman out of the rib of man. You know what the Hebrew word for rib is? Beam. If you're a builder, there's a beam in the house that holds the whole building together. So the woman is not just anybody. She's the beam. Hallelujah. Woman, say, I'm the beam. Go for it. So, okay, and we must respect our wives. Martin Luther said, isn't it amazing? God didn't make the woman out of the head of man, lest she say, I know more than you. He didn't make the woman out of the feet of man, lest the man say, you are under my feet. But he made her out of the side of man, that he might love her. Turn to your neighbor and say, how romantic. Hallelujah. Amen. See, we're talking about Satan, but we can talk about good things too. Hallelujah. So pride enters his heart. He becomes filled with violence within. He was cast as profane thing out of the mountain of God. God destroyed Lucifer. His heart was lifted up because of his beauty. His wisdom was corrupted for the sake of his splendor. After pride and iniquity was found in Lucifer, he was thrown out of heaven. The Bible talks about the abundance of his trade, his trafficking. Violence, profanity, destruction, pride and corruption, defilement, and a multitude of sins were found in him. Let's mention some of these. Say violence, profanity, destruction, pride, corruption, defilement, and a multitude of sin. Now, I want you to I want everyone to stomp their feet. Go ahead. Say, Satan is under my feet. So don't be intimidated that we're talking about the devil today. He's the defeated foe, right? Amen. The Bible says Jesus, when he died on the cross, spoiled the principalities and powers. Yes. Satan has no weapons, right? Because he's been stripped of his weapons. There's a song we used to sing before. I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, to drop your weapons and flee. Hey, don't be hard on the songwriters. People who didn't write one song always are condemning other people. Aaron, I like the song you wrote, brother. But you understand the spirit of the song the man wrote. There was one man so full of religion. Be careful. People who accuse other people of religion are full of religion themselves. There was this Hispanic team singing, draw me close to you, never let me go. So this guy was so theologically correct. He went and stopped those poor young people from singing in the front. And they were devastated. How many of you know, if the words are wrong, you understand what the spirit of the song is saying? It's saying we need to draw close to God. Who's worried about a few words? How many of you like I'll Fly Away? You go to the nursing homes, they like I'll Fly Away. They want familiarity, right? There's one word there that I don't like. It says, just a few more weary days and then. Some people say, you know, you can be so full of religion. Well, you know, I have all these happy days. Fine, you have happy days. You work as a slave. And a slave wrote that. It was weary for them. Yes. You contextualize it. You know what I do? When I sing, just a few more happy days and then. That's a beautiful song. You must go by the spirit of the song. If you didn't write one song, you don't have any authority to. You know, writing songs is a skill because you put theology in song. Charles Wesley, he was a great Methodist. If he came back today, he wouldn't be a Methodist. I mean, he was such a good theologian. And that is just by the way. Amen. So if you don't like a song, don't be so full of it. Just change the word and sing it. It's fine. The spirit of, everyone say the spirit of an idea is more than technical words. You know why? Because really, you pick on people. I mean, those, you know, the most loving song is Amazing Grace. People love that song. It's a beautiful song. Matt Redman, wow. He wrote his own version of it from the spirit of the song. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, He ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love. Amazing grace. You know, I have a medley in Amazing Grace, and then I sing a hymn. You know, some people say, well, the hymns are not spiritual. Ha! The spirit is spiritual. It's what the spirit uses that makes a thing spiritual. Then I sing the last in the melody I sing. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. It's not when the song was written. It's not the context it was written. It's what the Spirit uses to anoint at a given moment. Amen. I think we're in context because Satan was a worship leader, but he was corrupted. Right. So Lucifer's fall was caused from his dissatisfying with his anointing and his calling. Very important line. Everyone say dissatisfaction with his calling and anointing. Now there's some people who are never happy. They want more. There's nothing wrong with wanting more. But if you're not happy in your own garden, you'll be never happy in anybody else's garden. If you can't bloom in your own garden, you won't bloom in anybody else's garden. I come with you today, and you really don't know me. Some of you know me. But in what I'm sharing, I'm 56 years old. You can say, wow, he looks pretty young for 56. I'm going to be 57. How many of you know God's giving us long life? Say amen. The Bible says, with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. God has promised longevity. Everyone say longevity. Longevity. which means you're going to live a long time. Promise is not only exclusive to longevity, there's also productivity in it. Everyone say productivity. I'll tell you what I did today. I got up at 5:30 this morning. School started. So I sub and I go to the nations. I go to India. I'm going to India. I can reach about 10,000 people in 3 weeks, up to 20,000. In Vivi, I have a few people, but that's why I go to the nations. We go to three places. We go to Chennai in the south, Tamil Nadu. Then we go to Andhra Pradesh, to a place called Ananthapur. We go right into the villages. And that's the place you see panthers and stuff. So one time we went, I thought we'd see a panther. I didn't see it. I was disappointed. And then we go to Karnataka, which is Bangalore, the Silicon Valley in India. And God's opened many doors. Always when I go, I don't have a penny to go. Pastor Jack has been going to, was it Uganda? Ghana. All of us, when we go, we don't have. But how many of you know the Lord of the harvest provides? Amen. So I have my date set for the 28th, to leave on the 28th of September, coming back on the 17th of October. God is awesome. If you have the audacity to have faith, I wrote a book called The Audacity of Faith. And God will dare to bless you. We came back from South Africa. We didn't have a penny to go to South Africa. But I talked to the Lord quite often. I said, Lord, my daughter's not seen her grandmother in 9 years. How many of you know you should see your grandma in 9 years? My wife had not seen my mother for 9 years. And I said, Lord, it's time. We try to go, but, you know, I went every year because I preached the gospel and the Lord. But I said, Lord, it's this year. Guess what? This year we went and the Lord provided the money for all of us. Let's give the Lord a mighty hand. The Bible says when you give, it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. In South Africa, we have the Kruger National Park. Here, if you want to see animals, you go to the zoo. So they take a lion and they put it in a little cage like this and you see the lion. But the Kruger National Park in South Africa is big as the state of Rhode Island. So you'll find the animals in their natural habitat. But it costs a lot of money to go, so I wanted to take my sister's family and my family. And a man brought a whole wad of South African rand right to the airport. You know, people will give to your bosom. God is not only limited to have your needs met here in America. He'll provide wherever you go. How many of you know God's your provider? Amen. Amen. Everyone say, God is my source. God is my source. Sometimes we trust the system more than we trust the source. Always trust the source. God is the source, right? You remember the brook. The brook was not Elijah's source. It was a system God used. Right. God is the source. Now, here was Elijah in the time of famine, and he had all the water he could drink from the brook. And he had filet mignon. You know where it came from? It came from Ahab and Jezebel's table, I'm sure. Ravens, which were scavengers, took that and they brought it and they fed him. God is the source. Now say after me, everyone, don't trust the system. Trust the source. Now the challenge to you, are you satisfied with your anointing? Are you satisfied with your calling? Maybe you say, well, I want a church. I want to pastor a church. I mean, I had a guy with me. He got mad with me 3 weeks ago. Because he thought I was preaching at him. He never even came to my mind. You know, when people come to a church and they come for a ministry, it never works out. But if they come to serve and then a ministry arises from the situation, it always works out. Say amen. Amen. Be satisfied with whatever. God has called Pastor Jack to be the pastor of this church. How many of you love Pastor Jack? Say amen. Patty and Jack are good people, and I'm glad for the opportunity. Thank you so much for receiving me here, Pastor. Thank you so much. It's great to share. Enjoy the church. Enjoy your calling. Enjoy your station in life. If God called you to be a doorkeeper, be the best doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. If he's called you to sing like your sister, smile and sing. Hallelujah. Brother, if he's called you there to with the sound system there, hallelujah. You're doing a good job. I don't hear any echo and anything. Hallelujah. You see, he was dissatisfied with his role. Be careful when you're dissatisfied. When you're dissatisfied, sometimes the spirit of Lucifer is coming on you. He wanted more than his portion. He was jealous of mankind. He was jealous of Adam. Wow, if you knew how much power God gave to Adam. God gave Adam dominion. Everyone say dominion. Wow, Adam named the animals. He was such an intelligent being. And then when he fell, we lost some of that. Adam was the first Adam, and he contributed to the fall. And God has sent us the last Adam. Anyone know the name of the last Adam? Jesus Christ. He is the last Adam. It took an Adam to ruin us. And it took an Adam to reinstate us with fellowship with God. Jesus is the last Adam. Paul says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Karl Barth, he was one of the greatest German theologians. I don't go with all of his theology. But Karl Barth said, Emmanuel does not only mean God with us, it means us with God. Jesus has never forsaken his humanity. In the heavens, there is a God-man still today. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us all. Hallelujah. Are you blessed and highly favored? See, we can marry theology with doctrine as we're going. And the best preaching is to do is doctrinal preaching. He was jealous of mankind. He was intimidated that someone else was going to be close to God. Be careful if you are intimidated by somebody else's gifts, somebody else's position. Aaron is leading. If you sit there and say, I can sing better than him. I can play music better than him. I'm mad with Pastor Jack because he didn't give me worship leader. He gave him. You see, it's about me. That's the spirit of Lucifer. Be very careful. He uses that to divide the churches. We think of our own ministry, Grace Fellowship as a whole. Wow. This spirit has been pretty rampant there, right? Most of the people leave because of the manifestation of this kind of spirit. You wait till we get to the Jezebel spirit just now. He was intimidated that someone else was going to be close to God. The spirit of Lucifer has three characteristics. The first is proximity. Everyone say proximity. You know what proximity is? People want to be close to the top. They want to be close to the leadership. Be careful when people come and say, Pastor, God sent me to serve this church. And Pastor, he has sent me to serve you. Often that person is saying, I won't last here a long time. I'll be gone in just a little bit. Prove yourself. So Satan had proximity. Second, pride. Many people leave a church and many people spoil a ministry because of pride. And the last one is perceived injury. Everyone say perceived injury. Wow. You know why people leave sometimes? Well, they didn't recognize me. They didn't recognize my gift. The pastor overlooked me. What am I doing? I mean, there's this guy. He attached himself to me about a year ago. I actually gave him a job and paid him by the hour. But his problem was every now and then, he wants to start a ministry, but never did one thing to bring one person in. Never did one. He has all this ideology about ministry, but never put feet to his vision. How many of you know that you must put feet to your vision? If God has called you to preach, you don't have to take Pastor Jack's place. Nothing stops you from preaching. You can go out and preach over there. You can go out and preach under a tree. Hey, you can even start your own church and say, Pastor Jack, I am so blessed that God has called me here. You are feeding me. And you know what? I'm going to go as an evangelist. I'm going to bring people to this church. You know, it's not Pastor Jack's job to bring people to the church. It's his job to teach you and train you. Amen. We all must do the work of an evangelist. Everyone say, I must do the work of an evangelist. Hallelujah. You know why I like going to the nursing homes? Because I love to share the love of Christ. You know, they are older, frail people who've given their lives to the church and sometimes neglected in the last days. You must see how they beam up when you sing a familiarized hymn. Wow. You know what's the most famous hymn they like is, I come to the garden alone. You know what's the circumstances of the hymn? Was the resurrection morning. Mary's coming to the garden alone while the dew lies still in the roses. If you don't tell me that's spiritual, something's wrong with you. Anointing and spirituality has nothing to do with the time era or a time. The old things are anointed. The new things are anointed. The old things, some of them are not even anointed. Some of the new things are not even anointed. How many of you know that the anointing is tangible? Say tangible. You can sense it. You can sense it. It is thick. The glory of God is the kavod glory of God. Now, the three characteristics of the Lucifer spirit. Say it again, everyone. Say proximity. Say pride. Say perceived injury. Now listen, if you get hurt by leadership in this church and you are focusing on yourself and saying, they overlooked me, it's a demonic spirit. Even if they overlooked you, you must humble yourself and God will lift you up. What happens if you lift yourself? God will put you down. Even if you were overlooked, pray about things rather than having a pity party about yourself. Okay, this is the profile of the spirit of Lucifer. Now we move to the spirit of Jezebel. Is everybody doing fine? Stand up, have a break and stretch. Go ahead. You can even dance for just a minute if you want to. Yeah. So you can do that, and I promise you I'll try to make this interesting, and we'll devote about the same amount of time to this, I promise you. Since I pressed this, I've been going for 23 minutes, but I went for some time before that. So we'll devote at least about half an hour. You can be seated. The spirit of Jezebel. Everyone say Jezebel. Who was Jezebel? Jezebel was the wife of King Ahab of Israel. Her father was a priest of Baal. This spirit works generally in women, but is not exclusively to women, like I told you. There were more men with the spirit of Jezebel. People with this spirit feel they have deep revelation, deeper than the leaders, deeper than the pastor, and sometimes they feel they have revelation even deeper than God. Be careful. How many of you love revelation? Say amen. Amen. But I got news for you. There's nothing new under the sun. You might think I have this wonderful revelation. Nobody else has it in the world. Come down from your lofty tower. Somebody has looked at it before. Be humble in what you do. How many of you are getting revelation tonight? Say amen. Amen. I mean, I don't have to make a big trumpet and say, oh, look at Charles Dyderham. I mean, you know. I'm a guru. Generally, people from India, they call themselves guru. You don't have to advertise your gift. People will know your gift. Hey, you are seeing 57 years or 56 and a half years of a package altogether. God has taken me through so many experiences. I've been enriched by the many experiences in my life, the trials, the great joys, the travels. I am an addicted traveler. I'm going to make you jealous. You know where I've been to? London, Paris, Barcelona, Marseille, Sweden, Okinawa, South Africa. I'll stop right there. You see, when I go to South Africa, I go every year. Never have money. But God always provides. Why? God is my source. Everyone say, God is my source. God is my source. I will not trust the system. I will trust Almighty God. Now, I diarize what I do, and I've been teaching media, so I told you I got up at 5:30. Sometimes I don't complete my story. I get excited. So I got up 5:30 this morning. I went to school because I love the school, because you were the rambunctious kids who need the love of Jesus. Amen. And you know why I go? Because they pay me $117 a day. And I had half a day free. Guess what? I prepared two sermons today. I'm not against preachers who say God called me to full-time ministry. But he called me to full-time ministry. I'm ministering there. The light of Christ is shining. God calls different people to different things. But I am who I am, and I'm happy in my own skin. Everyone say, you need to be happy in your own skin. See, I can be all religious in my own office and feel sleepy and even sleep for half of the day. That does not make me any more spiritual than what I was today. So I finished school at 3:30. I got into my car. I came here. I changed clothes, and I'm full of energy. Amen. Amen. I'll go to VV, drive about an hour and a half, and I'll say, God has given me productivity today. I don't feel like an old man. Who told you 57 is getting old? Wow. I feel the younger. Wow. I told my wife, she's got to keep up with me. Amen. My wife looks pretty young too. She's 4 years younger than me. God's awesome. He'll bless you. Hallelujah. Jesus refers to the spirit of Jezebel as the depths of Satan. Revelation 2:24. So Jesus hates the spirit, right? This is a seeking spirit. It always is seeking something more, something better. Everyone say something more, something better. Hey, just enjoy what you have. Like I told you, it's great to have revelation. Enjoy the revelation you have, and God will give you more. But the Bible says godliness with contentment is great, great gain. Everyone say godliness, godliness. With contentment, with contentment is great gain. Great gain. I went to a Benny Hinn meeting several. I love the different anointings. You know, I love the presence of God that's present in his meeting, and I'm zealous for it. You know, I like a little bit from there. What I do is I take the meat and I throw out the bones. We all have bones. We don't like to admit it. Take what's good and throw what's bad, okay? So I went to a meeting. I soaked in the meeting. It was in Louisville. He prayed for me too. Wow, the anointing was so strong. I tell you, he prayed for all the pastors. He prayed for me three times. But the anointing is not Benny Hinn's anointing. It's God's anointing. I mean, there's some things I don't agree with what he says. But what I do, I take the meat and I spit out the bone. I enjoy where I am and hope that God will take me where I am. Remember tonight I told you, if you don't bloom in your own garden, you won't bloom in somebody else's garden. Everyone say, I must enjoy the moment, with full contentment. Because you have never been on this pathway before. Hallelujah. You know, this time in history will never be replicated. The same amount of people in the same room at the same time under the same circumstances. This is history. Do you know that? Once it's gone, it's history. You make the best of the moment. You don't know who I am. I don't know who you are deeply. We know some by acquaintance, but we're getting to know each other better. And we just flow in God's spirit. And we enjoy the moment, enjoying all that God has given us. So the Jezebel spirit will use manipulation, will use control, will use witchcraft, will use soulish prayers, will use religion, will use gossip and false prophecies. Let's mention this again. Everyone say manipulation. Now, if you don't pronounce the words like me, it's because I come from the South. I come from the deep South, South Africa. Okay. Say control. Say witchcraft. Soulish prayers. Religion. Gossip. And false prophecies. So this spirit will seem overly concerned with the leadership in the church. It hates male authority. is extremely noisy, bears false witness, and loves power. It'll pray for leadership, especially the pastor. I had some people, they felt like their calling was to pray for the pastor. And they'll say it with a vibration, pray for the pastor. You know what they are insinuating? That the pastor is not all right. They need to pray for the pastor. Pray for the pastor. Don't make a big thing about praying for the pastor. You can pray for the pastor in your closet. Don't make it your life mission. You know, some people, I'm glad you have all-night prayer. Hallelujah. God's going to bless this church. You believe it? Because that's the way to go. But you know, some prayer meetings can just be hinting meetings. You know, people do great at praying individually, but it takes a special grace to pray corporately. When does the power come? It comes when we come in agreement, right? I mean, you can agree with yourself, your body, mind, and soul, or your will, your mind, your emotions. But the devil comes out sometime when you pray with somebody else, because they can get hurt by your prayers. People are not the same. We need to respect each other. There needs to be submission when you come to each other. You know, submission is the key to every holistic relationship. If there's no submission in a marriage, disaster. If there's no submission in the home, the children and the parents will be in disarray. God asks the children to honor their parents. That's submission. God asks the fathers, do not exasperate your children, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's submission, right? When I wrong my children, I need to submit and tell them I'm wrong. Do that. In the church, you must submit to leadership, the pastor. Say amen. Amen. And the pastor must submit to you. The Bible, God tells you, the parishioners, it says, respect those who have the rule over you. That's a powerful term. That's almost like control. But God tells leadership, don't control. Don't lord over my flock. It's my flock. It's not yours. You see how there's balance? There's mutual relationship. God is a God of balance. And sometimes the church is really unbalanced. Jezebel will pray condescending prayers. She puts herself above authority, God established authority. If she's married, she wears the pants. In my culture, people laugh at it. I'm a part Tamil and Telugu from two states. I'm half and half. Indian, though. South Indian. India has about 1,000 subcultures. They're not all the same. The cuisine is so different. When I was in North India, I ate Chinese food. And they have the best Chinese food in the world. The people from Nepal, the Himalayas, some of the best rice. The best cuisine in the world is in India. But I don't eat on the street. I'm very careful. We eat in the good restaurants. You can afford that. Because I've been to India maybe about 7 times. Never had a stomach ache. Never had any problem. You know, because you just eat what's good. I don't see them preparing it and stuff. But, I mean, the cuisine is really, really good. So, in my culture, there's a term called potamari. It sounds funny in the vernacular. It means a henpecked man. A man who's under his wife's skirt. I mean, that's the term. Which means his wife controls him. And the men will laugh. And I have a joke. I say the men who laugh the loudest are the potamaris. They are the ones who are in that position. If you're a wife, honor your husband. You may be smarter than him. You may look lovelier than him, but honor him. Honor him. You know, marriage is the most sacred relationship that God ever created. There is no closer human relationship than a husband and wife coming together. The two shall become one. God tells the man, love your wife. Love is submission, right? God tells the woman, submit to your husband. Actually, there's a verse before that. It says, submitting to one another in love. Wives, be submissive to your husband. Now, I submit to my wife. If mama's happy, then everybody's happy. And in the marriage relationship, it doesn't matter who tries to say sorry first. I'm talking to married people here. You know that a molehill can become a mountain. You have a little miscommunication. One day of pride will get the level right up. 2 days of pride will get it way up. 1 month will make you almost want to commit murder. Because you really get so mad. Hey, listen, if your spouse has wronged you, don't wait for her to say sorry. I don't know. Let me ask you a question. Who is quicker at saying sorry, men or women? But I know when something's wrong, even if I've not been wrong, but if I say, Cheryl, I'm sorry, that breaks the ice. It doesn't matter who says sorry. It matters that there's a peace relationship. How many of you, you've had something and you had such miscommunication? Home was the most horrible place for you to come to. The place you love the most, because there's no unity. There's no... I can see many of you saying amen. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He in due time will pick you up. Draw. It doesn't matter who's wrong or who's right. The Bible says the wife is the weaker vessel. Now, that does not mean men are. Some women are so strong. I don't know whether that's a physical weakness. Probably a physical weakness, because most. But I mean, I was looking at the Guinness Book of Records for 2016. There's a woman in England. She broke 1,000 roof tiles in 1 minute. Wow, that was awesome. 1,000. I mean, she looked like a hunk of a woman. I mean, an English woman. But it doesn't matter who, right? So if a wife is acting like a Jezebel, you need, that's a horrible spirit. You need to get rid of that spirit. Jezebel wants to destroy true doctrine. She wants to destroy godly authority and replace it with false prophecy and doctrine. Her husband was Ahab. Now, be careful. Husbands, take the lead, even if you are sweet in your disposition. Don't be so sweet that you let your wife walk all over you. Stand your grounds. You need to do that. God has called you to be the head of the home, right? But some people say God has called the woman to be the neck of the home, because the neck is the thing that turns the head. See, we are equal. God made us equal. Everyone say equal. The woman is not under the man. I can't say, because you're a woman, you're under me. No. You have a unique relationship with your husband in the context of your home. Paul said there's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. God did not call the woman Eve. He called her Adam. She's made as the same constituency as man. In Hebrew, the word for woman is Isha. Everyone say Isha. You know what Isha means? She-man. I'm a he-man. My wife is a she-man. We are both men. I think there was a cartoon, He-Man and She-Man. They got it. So we are. So in the home, there needs to be divine order. Everyone say divine order. Ahab was such a weakling, he allowed Jezebel to rule. Someone said Ahab represents the church that drifts farther from God under the prompting of his wife. God had asked Elijah's protege, Elisha, to put the thing in order, right? So if you look quickly at 2 Kings 9, 1 to 10, I don't have the time to read it. 2 Kings 9, 1 to 10. God gives instruction how to deal with Jezebel. God had enough of this deceptive doctrine. God had enough of Ahab's wife. He instructs his servant to anoint Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat. Jehu receives this mantle and mounts up to do some house cleaning. Evidence of this is found in 2 Kings 9, 22 to 25. So 2 Kings chapter 9, brother, if you just want to put that for us on the screen there, you can look at it while I'm talking. So God had enough of this deceptive doctrine. God had enough of Ahab. He instructs his servant to anoint Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat. Jehu receives his mantle and mounts up to do some house cleaning. So Jezebel's children go down with her. Jezebel constantly wants to control. Somebody, let's read 2 Kings 9, 30 to 37. The Bible tells us that Jezebel put on her eye makeup, heavy makeup, and she was in the window looking down. And Jehu asked the eunuchs to throw her down, and she splattered one bloody mess. I am not cussing, but I mean bloody, because the blood went everywhere. Guess what? The dogs ate up all the flesh. The only thing that was left of her was a skull. Let's read that. 2 Kings 9, 30 to 37. Somebody? Don't be afraid.
Oh, you want one of us to do
that? Yes. No problem. See, I want you to be participatory. Go ahead, sis. That's fine, sister. We get the gist of it. Thank you very much. Jezebel constantly wants control. She makes threats and she becomes dog's food. God will not endure with the spirit of Jezebel for long. In Revelation 2:21, the Bible says, I gave her time to repent and she did not. Again, we look at the characteristics of the spirit very quickly. This spirit is also called charismatic witchcraft. Everyone say charismatic witchcraft. She often comes from a dysfunctional family, the person that has this Jezebel spirit, or he. They are very religious. They are clever and manipulative. They want power and authority with no accountability. Good line. Everyone say they want power and authority with no accountability. You know, God called me to be a pastor. But it's strong on me not to lord over the flock. The flock is not mine. Whose flock is it? God's flock. He made me an overseer of the flock. That's why sometimes I don't like to talk in terms of my church, because it's really not my church. Whose church is it? He said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I was a Baptist first and then came into the things of the Spirit. And one of the things that irritated me the most was a pastor all professionally dressed, and he would talk about my church, my baptisms, my. I got news for you. Nothing belongs to you. It's Christ's church. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. That's why as a pastor, I need to be so careful that I don't control, that I don't manipulate. God has called me to be a servant leader. Everyone say servant leader. But God has not only called me, He's called you, the parishioner. He's called leadership for all of us to be submissive. She tries to pull people away from God-ordained covering. Hey, we've seen a lot of this in Grace Ministries. Huh? People pull other people away. Hey, if God called you somewhere, you stick it. Hallelujah. If it's not good, you change it. Amen. Right? The fault, dear Brutus, lies not in the stars, but in ourselves, that we are the underlings. You are the problem. We are the problem. She can use flattery and sex and witchcraft and lies to gain control. She sows confusion. He sows confusion with letters and telephone calls. Hey, there was a man in our congregation. He called himself an apostle to Mexico. And a nice guy. He wouldn't give his tithe, but he would buy steaks for people. Hey, if I don't give my tithe, I can buy people a lot of steaks. Did God call you to buy steaks for people or to tithe? Call you to tithe, right? Hey, listen, you curry favor with people by buying steaks. Imagine you're new in the church and you have need, and I buy you, wow, I take $50 and I spend it and I buy you some steak. You'll say, wow, this guy is so good, he's better than Pastor Charles. Pastor Charles never gave me one steak. This guy gave me a whole lot of steaks. So people would come and he would talk to new people and say, Charles is a nice guy, but you must watch this about him. So he would sow discord in people. The people loved me, but then I'd preach, and you know when you preach, if the cap fits, you got to wear it. And the evil thought that he sowed in their minds would work, and eventually, and one day the Lord said, as long as this guy is here, the church will never grow. My personal philosophy, I don't kick people out. I like the Lord to kick him out, but the Lord eventually kick him out. Hallelujah. Amen. So be careful. You know, the church is the threshing floor. God is constantly separating the wheat from the chaff, the wolves from the sheep. Jezebel sows confusion with letters and telephone calls. She is hot-tempered. He's hot-tempered, quick to judge and advise. They hide well in prophetic and faith circles. We need to be very careful of people who come. Sometimes if the wrong person can come, they can destroy the church and take more people with them than they brought in. I remember at one time some people came because they were dissatisfied with one church, and they came with about 10 people. Wow, I got excited. But guess what? They were so discontent, they took more people and they went away. Be careful. Be careful. Guard your doctrine. Discernment is the best weapon against these spirits. We must guard ourselves from deception. Jesus was upset with the church in Thyatira for allowing Jezebel to seduce them. Guard ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. Don't let God raise a Jehu to take us out. Now, the punchline. I'm done. Say amen. I don't have to teach you everything I know. I think I taught you quite a bit. And never think the length of a sermon has to do with how spiritual it is. Has nothing to do with it. If people preach like Paul for 5 hours, bless them, right? Everybody has a different personality. How many of you know Pastor Jack and I are not the same? Pastor Jack is Pastor Jack. I'm Pastor Jack. If I try to be like Pastor Jack, I'll be a disaster. I'm who I am. He is who he is. God has called us to be comfortable in our own skin. And I taught these two spirits today. The spirit of Lucifer. It always wants to be on top. It has the spirit of perceived injury. Some people are hurt all their lives. Oh, they overlooked me. They have a disease called eyesightus. You know what's eyesightus? The disease of the eye. You know from who I learned that? I learned that from a Muslim girl in South Africa. We went to school together. So one day she said, some people have eyesightus, the disease of the eye. I thought that's good. Don't put yourself in the forefront. But Christ, let him be glorified. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. And then the spirit of Jezebel, if you are manipulative, if you are controlling in your home, stop it. The man can have the spirit of Jezebel. Your wife is just like you. She's made in the imago Dei. Treat her with respect. Don't push her. If you beat her, you need to be beaten. Sorry. Don't lay a hand on your wife. She's not your punching bag. And wife, if you do it to the husband, you need help straight away. I know a couple close to me. The wife was so controlling, she took a frying pan of hot hamburger and threw it at her husband. These people, they prophesy too. They have prophetic words. Charismatic people. They can dance so well. You'll think they Lucifer before he fell. Don't get carried away with giftedness. Giftedness is not spirituality. We should be spiritual in the gifts God has given us. But don't get carried away with even anointing. Character is just as important as anointing. Are you blessed and highly favored, everybody? It's been a little bit of a tough teaching, but hey, listen, we need to stretch ourselves. How many of you heard teaching on the spirit of Jezebel before? Good. So Pastor Jack taught you on the spirit of Jezebel. Good. And wonderful, but so many people have not even touched it. They don't even know there's a spirit like this. So it's good I know in circles where this is not taught, but it's very relevant here in Grace Fellowship right now. Because with all that we've lost, and we need this teaching pretty much. It needs to be reinforced. We need to be on guard. We need to guard ourselves and our teaching. Let's bow in prayer. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for a few sick people here today. God wants to heal you. He's the healer. The healer is in the house.